The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Good morning, Anthony Reich. How are you?
Boker tov, chagim uzmanim lasason.
How's it going?
Oh, moedim lesimcha.
Moedim lesimcha. All right.
We're doing all right, yeah, following things as usual. I don't think we're going to try not to talk about corona today,
okay.
If that's okay with you, Kathy.
I'm absolutely fine with that. The latest opinion polls in Israel show that Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has lost a great deal of public support. So why? And
in response to a question that we had yesterday, which I think is a very pertinent question, and I'm glad that it was asked, so it gives us the opportunity to talk about it. Why? Well, we've seen an increase in the protest movement against the Prime Minister. We know that he's got these legal cases hanging over his head. There are a lot of people who feel that a serving Prime Minister shouldn't have to be dealing with legal cases. And so, therefore, we have two schools of thought, either that the legal cases should be dropped until such time as he's no longer in office, or there is another school of thought that says offences in public office, then he should resign and allow somebody else to run the country and get on with defending himself in the way that every other citizen should do. But I think the main reason for his loss of public support is simply because of what's been going on here with the corona. We did say we weren't going to talk about it, but here the Prime Minister really has lost a lot of public support. And I think that I think there is an overwhelming feeling that he's running things in some way to benefit his own cause rather than in the public interest. And I think that that's really the main weakness. And as such, in the latest opinion polls, it shows that his Likud party has dropped to potentially 26 Knesset seats if there was an election held today, as opposed to the 36 seats that they currently hold. So that's a massive drop of 10 seats, hardly ever heard of in Israeli politics, because the changes are usually really, really just limited around the edges, very, very marginal, but a massive change. And interestingly, opinion polls, the support is not necessarily going in the direction of Benny Gantz, which is what many people might have expected, because Benny Gantz has also been seen to be a little bit on the fence. He hasn't shown himself to be the counterbalance that people thought and hoped that he would be to Prime Minister Netanyahu, to the Likud party. He is, of course, the Deputy Prime Minister. He has a very senior position in the cabinet. He is due to be Prime Minister when that rotation is supposed to take place towards the end of next year. And yet, his party has really dropped in the opinion polls as well. And the main winner in all of this is Naftali Bennett's party, the Yamina party, which, according to the opinion polls, would get no fewer than 23 seats if an election was held today. And that is in contrast to the 6 seats that they currently hold in the Knesset. So that's a massive increase. Mm. The irony for me is that increase in support really is not because they feel that Naftali Bennett is doing such a good job, because I don't think he's really been doing very much at all. And I think therein lies the point. He hasn't really done anything to make people feel negative about him. And so I think that this is more of a negative vote rather than a positive vote. I think this is a protest against what's going on with the current political politicians, with the current government, with the Prime Minister and with Benny Gantz, who some people view as a bit of a punch bag. He's not really stood up. He's not done the job that people hoped he would do. The big winner is Naftali Bennett, simply because he hasn't done anything wrong. And the reason he hasn't done anything wrong is because he hasn't really done much at all. He's just been sitting in the wings, watching the circus that's been going on around, and not putting a foot wrong by just kind of staying out of it. And that's really ironic. And more than that, the opinion poll goes on to say that almost half of the Israelis who were polled in this opinion poll would actually like an election very, very soon, like right now almost, in order to have their say and to change the current political establishment. Now, one would have thought that Israelis are election weary after having gone through so many elections in recent times. And yet the public is saying we want an election very, very soon, or at least a very, very high percentage of the people in that poll say that they would like to have an election very soon. 37% are supporting a snap election. And 49% said that they would actually support another snap election, despite the fact that, you know, the last national, the 49% is of all respondents, but out of the right wing respondents, 37% said that they would support a snap election. So I misquoted those statistics a little bit, but almost half the people, 49%, say that they would like an election right now, even though it's been hardly 6 months since the last election. Now, there was an expectation that come the end of the year, when that budget vote is due to take place, because as we know, it's already been delayed. It should have taken place some time ago. It almost brought the government down. The government then entered into this arrangement between themselves to postpone the budget vote so that at least we could have continue to have a government so soon after the last election. That budget vote has now been delayed until towards the end of the year. And there was a view that the Prime Minister would use the budget vote to bring the government down, that there wouldn't be a budget passed, that this would effectively trigger automatically an election, and that the Prime Minister would engineer that election in order to try to escape from the rotation of Prime Ministers that's due to take place next year. Now it seems that the Prime Minister does not have it in his interests to engineer an election in the near future, because it would seem as if though he would be a big loser under the current circumstances if there was to be an election soon. So it's going to be very, very fascinating to see how that budget vote actually transpires, and if the Prime Minister will make sure that the budget does pass somehow so that he can continue to serve in office, and try to delay the snap election that he would like to cause before the rotation, more towards the middle of next year, but just before, obviously, the rotation, in the hope that this current view of him and the current negative press that he's getting, and the negative feeling that the general public are holding about him, might dissipate a little bit between now and the time that he would like to call another election. Right. So Anthony, we've got a few interesting things.
Yeah, so what I'm finding interesting about what you're saying is that it really just reinforces that the Israeli population votes on domestic policy, not foreign policy. Because Benjamin Netanyahu, between him and Donald Trump, certainly Israel is very much a partner in the Middle East peace process. You know, and when you're looking at, you know, these peace agreements with the UAE and with Bahrain, that kind of isn't registering in terms of the voter base.
Not as much. I think that that's a fair statement. I think that right now, what we're experiencing with Corona and what that means for our economy and what that means for our children's education and what that means for our health system is way up there in terms of importance, rather than what's going on on the foreign policy agenda.
Yeah.
And while these peace agreements are really nice and probably would have bolstered his support in some way, they really are much, much less important. And to be fair, even though we all very much appreciate the peace agreements that are being struck, and they are, we can't underestimate their importance. And also, we can't underestimate the impact that they may have on the relationships that we have with the Palestinian Authority and with Hamas in Gaza, because I think that these peace agreements really weaken their situation a great deal and gives Israel a much stronger hand against them. We can't underestimate any of that. But right now, that's way less important.
But long term, Anthony, I mean, can you imagine peace in the region means that all of a sudden Israel's majority of Israel's budget spend is on, you know, on safety and security. And on the military. Imagine if that money not then became available to government to uplift society. I mean,
so
there
the
is
real
a bigger
question,
picture.
The real question that people ask is whether a peace with the UAE, with Bahrain, reduces the need for us to have an army. It reduces the security threat that we experience. And right now, the answer to that question is no. It doesn't make any difference to our army. And that's mainly because of the threat that Iran presents.
Yeah.
And Iran via its proxy armies in the region, Hamas, Palestinian Islamic Jihad in Gaza, renegade groups in Syria, Hezbollah in Lebanon. Those threats remain in spite of the peace agreements with Bahrain and with the United Arab Emirates, and potentially in spite of any peace agreement that we might sign with any of those countries that we discussed yesterday. None of those peace agreements will necessarily reduce the threat from on our immediate borders that we currently experience, and certainly won't reduce the threat from Iran. So therefore, unfortunately, those peace agreements, at least in the near term, will not reduce the military spend, will not reduce our security spend.
All right, let's move on. Anthony, the EU has refused a request from the Palestinian Authority to increase the financial aid being provided by the European Union. So why has the EU refused the request?
Well, let's start out by saying that the EU is providing substantial financial aid to the Palestinian Authority, and that doesn't change. Whatever was agreed beforehand continues to be the case now. But back when there was talk about the so-called annexation that Israel was talking about potentially annexing territory in the Judean Samaria area, the Palestinian Authority decided to effectively cease all cooperation and links with Israel, and in August they cut ties completely with everything that Israel was doing. Not in August, that was already back in May that these ties were cut. And that also meant that the Palestinian Authority would not cooperate with Israel to receive money from Israel that Israel collects on behalf of the Palestinian Authority. So Israel, for example, collects money from workers who are residents of the Palestinian Authority area but work in Israel, pay taxes via their Israeli employer, pay social security via the Israeli employer. That gets paid to the Israeli authorities, and Israel then pays that over to the Palestinian Authority. So there was an arrangement in place where this money would move over. Also, duties that were collected for goods and services moving between Israel and the Palestinian Authority that was being collected by Israel was being paid over to the Palestinian Authority. That money today amounts to 2.5 billion shekels, so about $700 million that Israel is currently holding on behalf of the Palestinian Authority and wishes to pay over. But the Palestinian Authority have said, no, we don't want to receive that money from Israel. We cut ties back in May because of talk about annexation, and we're not interested anymore in any cooperation with Israel, which includes receiving this huge sum of money. So the European Union has said, listen, guys, until you are prepared to renew your links with Israel and receive the money that is owed to you, that Israel is looking to pay to you, we are not going to finance that on your behalf. So no more finance from us. We will continue to pay what we've been paying. And in the meantime, you've got almost $800 million owed to you by Israel who wishes to pay it to you. Go ahead and take the money. That's what you need to do. Of course, the Palestinian Authority is financially very strapped right now because they're not accepting the money. It's ironic that the Europeans have said no to this.
All right. Anthony Reich, that is where we leave it today. And being a Thursday, I wish you we've got Chagim coming up as well. So I wish you a Chag Sameach. I wish you a Shabbat Shalom. And I will catch up with you on Monday because I'm in all of next week again. Right.
I look
Thank
forward
you so
to it.
Much.
I wish you all Chag Sameach. Enjoy your weekend. Enjoy some Chag Torah for what it is. And Shabbat Shalom.